Happy New Year. We made it. It was a good year. And I hope that last night you were eating a lot of snacks or quietly napping or whatever you do for New Year's Eve. But I hope that it was filled with joy. I hope that it was filled with the remembrance of God's faithfulness and an anticipation of what he's going to do in 2023. Lord, thank you. I thank you for this word that you've given me. I thank you for the theme that you have brought out already all morning, that you've brought out for all of us all week. I know, Lord, because it's how you work. You're faithful, and you bring all things together for the good of the people who love you and are called according to your purposes. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Yeah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom. Amen. It's already started. So I've been working on this, and the entire week as I've been wrapping it up, each time I read through it to make sure it makes sense, I get stuck in the same places, and I break down. Oh, I hate the clock. Okay. Oh, here we go. I'm just going to read, and when the waterworks come, they come. This time of year, most of us look forward, don't we? We look toward being healthier. We look toward being more secure financially. We look toward doing something more or better. Unfortunately, most of us don't do a good job of understanding our past in order to help us be successful in our looking forward. Today, it's going to flash up on the screen in perfect timing and sync with my voice. Today is the day to begin. For those of you under 40, that's a typewriter. That's the black ribbon, the red ribbon. Anyway, today is the day to begin. In January, the fitness industry sees a jump of about 12% in gym memberships. Now, that's compared to 8% for the rest of the months of the year. And a study in the UK in 2019 found that around 26 million people, wrap your brains around that, began the year on some kind of diet. Now, get ready to unwrap your minds. 87% of those people would break their new habits as early as January 12th. Another study found that more than 50% of the people cited food cravings as the primary reason they gave up on their diet. 25% of those people cited boredom as a big culprit. Another 33% said that stress was the culprit. And yes, those add up to more than 100, but those are statistics within statistics. So, unsurprisingly, can you imagine what food was the one that was missed most? Chocolate. I would say garlic bread, but chocolate went out. You'll be glad to know that that study did show that family and friends played a huge role in the success of the people who made it. And a side note, that's one of the things I really appreciate about Cambria. We've got people who go on walks together. We've got people who play pickleball together. We've got people who go down to the Joslin Center and are active with all kinds of people. We have people who go sit with each other. We have all of the coffee shops you can go to in the morning, and you'll see the same groups of people together. We should go join them. Those of you who are joining them, thank you. That's what I love about Cambria, is that we are just a beautiful town. You know, it's really easy to get lost and go home and isolate at 5 o'clock. It's really easy to get involved because there are a lot of active people out here. So if you don't fall into the category of actively involved in Cambria, it's the time and season to begin. The Bible urges us as believers to keep meeting together with each other. It's together that we grow in community, not in isolation. God calls us into relationship with Him and with others. And I think most of us understand that social media doesn't really substitute for human interaction. And by social media, I don't mean FaceTime or Zoom or whatever video you might use, because you're interacting with a real person and they see your face and you hear their voice. And a lot of the communication isn't lost in the translation. So if you haven't done so, this is a great time to join a small group here at church. They meet all over Cambria, different days of the week at different times. You can go on our website and look for them. You can look at our newsletter that comes out on Thursdays, usually around 5 o'clock. And I get to see the stats of who opens it, so about half of you need to open it. It has things in there like, how many services are we having this weekend? What time is the service this weekend? Things like that. So if you haven't signed up or you're not receiving it, let us know, and we'll take care of that. And according to that study I mentioned earlier, there are good indicators that what we do to occupy our minds affects what we put in our mouths. Amen. Amen. A bored mind can be a dangerous thing. So today, January 1st, 2023, is the natural day to begin again. Some of you haven't been to church in a while, maybe. I think I recognize most of your faces, and this is a tourist town, so. Anyway, if this is your first time back, you've begun. I already mentioned the Connect card, so please fill that out. You know, get it to Denise or me, because we want to connect with you. We want to help you keep going with this commitment. Maybe you feel stuck today, and you don't know how to begin. One of the best ways to start that process is by remembering. If we're unable to remember the good things that God has done for us and through us, which happens, hopefully our friends will help remind us. Hey, do you remember when? And some of you sitting here this morning, that's you. You are the one to help remind someone of God's goodness and what happened this past year. Many of us remember and are reminded through the words of Apostle Paul when he urged the Philippian church to not put their confidence in themselves, but in God. He tells them to forget the negatives, the failures, even what seemed good to them. He considered it manure, to put it politely, and church it up. Those are his words, not mine. And he presses on toward the goal of eternity with Christ. In all of his epistles, Paul refers to the scriptures, which in his case was the Old Testament, as his framework for preaching Christ. And the Bible is an excellent place to remember. Go there and remember. We have a couple of Bible plans in the brown rolling cabinet out here that Pastor Gary has set up that will help you go through it in the year, and it's chronological, and it makes sense, and it's easy to do. If you have a computer in your house, it's 2023, so if not, okay. Maybe you're using a typewriter. You also have phones, but there's the YouVersion app or Bible.com. And you can get all the translations that you want. You can weed out the ones you don't. But you can start reading the Bible again today. It's everywhere and it's all over the place. And I'm thankful for social media for that. Today is the day to... Thank you. And she didn't get a heads up on this one this time. So a good listener. Jesus was well versed in the scriptures again, the Old Testament. And he used them to point to the Father and to clear up misunderstandings about him. Jesus remembered what was written and he obeyed it to the letter. Paul remembered what was written and he placed his hope fully in the one who understood and obeyed the written word. Believing the hope of the future lay not in looking back at his own life, but remembering and trusting in the word of God, both written and in the flesh. Everything up to that point, Paul counted as nothing, knowing Christ and Christ crucified was the driving force of Paul's life. It's important to remember the right things, right? And forget the wrong things. We spend too much time remembering the wrong things. Just stop. I'd probably lead the pack in that. It's time. As we're remembering, it's important to respond appropriately. And I'm going to point to three examples from Scripture this morning of people who were reminded and acted appropriately. The first one is someone remembering the covenant made by God with his chosen people. The second is somebody who remembers who he is when he encounters the fulfiller of that covenant. And I'll get to the third one later. Listen to what the Bible says about King Josiah in 2 Kings, chapters 22 and 23. I'm just going to hit a couple of tops of the waves on this, but Josiah was a great king. Verse 2 of chapter 22 says that he did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight and followed the example of his ancestor David. He did not turn away from doing what was right. That's a big deal. Verse 11, they find the covenant. He realizes what it is. When the king heard what was written in the book of the law, he tore his clothes in despair. Verse 19, God responded to his actions in this way. You were sorry and humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I said against this city and its people, that this land would be cursed and become desolate. You tore your clothing in despair and wept before me in repentance. And I have indeed heard you, says the Lord. Chapter 22 is really just an account of the Book of the Covenant being rediscovered by the King Josiah, by King Josiah in the temple. It was under some dust and rubbles, and they're like, oh, what's this, guys? And how he responded to that. Chapter 23 continues the account of King Josiah. And in verse 3, we read that Josiah pledged to obey the Lord by keeping all his commands, laws, and decrees with all his heart and soul. And all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. Josiah then set about cleansing Jerusalem and the surrounding areas of idols and idol worship. That's the ugly part that we don't want to get involved with, cleaning up our lives, doing the work. He did away with the priests who had been appointed by previous evil kings. Josiah eliminated idolatry and false worship from around Jerusalem, and he issued an order to all the people that they must celebrate Passover as required in the Book of the Covenant. The Bible says that there had never been such a celebration of Passover since the time of the judges. That's a big deal. As the life of King Josiah comes to an end, we read in verse 25 that never before had there been a king like Josiah who turned to the Lord with all his heart and soul and strength, obeying all the laws of Moses. And there has never been a king like him since. David was before him. There's never been a king like this guy. David was the man. Anyway. What happened to Josiah? He remembered the covenant of old that had been lost in the clutter of the temple. He remembered who he was and who his people were. Josiah remembered that God came down in time and space and led his people out of bondage to foreign people and foreign idols. Josiah remembered that God was faithful to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He remembered that God opened and closed the Red Sea. He remembered that God alone was worth worshiping and praising. He remembered that God was the only thing in this world worth craving. And he committed to not only living his life according to God's will, but ensuring that the nation he led did the same. Josiah cleansed his nation and city of anything that would draw worship away from the one true God. Would you guys lead people in worshiping this year? Like Josiah? I know you will. King Josiah's dedication to God and to right living spared an entire nation from experiencing the wrath of God that had been provoked by the prior kings who only did evil in the sight of God. Josiah reigned over Judah for 31 years. 25 of those years were filled with the worship of the one true God. And that's what happens when the stories of old, the ancient ways, if you will, rise to the forefront of our hearts and minds. We forget what's behind. We remember what's ahead. And our lives are changed for eternity. Church has a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths, and rightly so. But I want us to remember the good from the church of our youth. When you get in conversations with people, remind them of the good of the church of their youth. Remember the songs, the stories, the campfires. Remember that moment you said yes to Jesus. Those are the things to look back on. Go back to your Bibles. Rediscover God. Just begin today. Just begin. Take that first step and watch the Father run to bring you home for a fresh start. The next person we're going to look at is in Luke 19. It's found 1 through 10. And we'll hit a couple of these verses as we go. But this is a story of a time when Jesus was walking along and a chief tax collector, not a regular tax collector, sees the crowds and he wants to see Jesus. So he climbs up a tree to get a better view. The Bible says he was a short man. And I think you guys all know who that is right now. Yeah. In the Dominican Republic, I remember events, you know, maybe basketball games or a parade. And I would see kids, especially, who would climb up on tops of walls or on tops of buildings, even trees, because they wanted a better view. And that really helps me see what was going on. It's just like, oh, Jesus is coming. Where is he? Whoa! When something special is happening, people want to see. So here we learn that Zacchaeus is one of those people. He's climbed a tree because he wants to see Jesus. I have a question for you guys. How many of you are straining to see Jesus today? You're in for a treat. Some of us, like Zacchaeus, are desperate to see Jesus. And because of circumstances or our position in life, we think we need to work harder to see him. Where is he? Where is he? Where is he? Jesus, where are you? Jesus, where are you? Where are you? Jesus, where are you? Denise, where's Jesus? Help me. What Zacchaeus didn't realize, and what many of us don't realize either, is that Jesus was coming for a divine appointment with him. Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus, and God had already seen Zacchaeus. He already sees you. Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. And like that, the one who was so desperate to see was seen. And more, he was called out of the crowd for the most precious meal of his life. Let's look at verse 5 again. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today." When Jesus came by, he called him by name. Can you hear him right now? "I'm coming to your house today." Jesus encountered Zacchaeus and went to his house, and those in the crowd were displeased that Jesus would do this, the Bible tells us. And while they were outside in their displeasure, inside, Zacchaeus was being transformed. Jesus says, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." Are you lost today? The Son of Man has come to find you. We don't get a deep look into the conversation during this meal or any great detail and much at all. You know, Zacchaeus repents, says, "I'm going to give everything back, and I'm going to give half of it to the poor." That's really kind of all we have. But we can look at times in the Bible when Jesus had meals with other people and those conversations, and we can get an idea of what happened. One thing we do know for sure from Luke's account, Luke 19, is that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector who climbed a tree to see Jesus. And after being seen by Jesus, he was a repentant man who remembered what it was to be a true son of Abraham. I was a chief tax collector. Like, tax collectors hated, chief tax collectors really hated. I'm a son of Abraham. If you're here today and you're looking for Jesus, he's looking for you. I'm going to repeat myself because this is worth hearing. Did you hear what he said to Zacchaeus? "I must be a guest in your house today." We know from John's gospel that Jesus only said and did what he saw the Father saying and doing. That means the Father directed Jesus to Zacchaeus. Your good heavenly Father is sending the Holy Spirit to you right now. On Thursday, this coming Thursday. So come down from your high places. Come and meet your King. Begin your life as someone who is being seen by the God of the universe. I'm going to close today with a final story of somebody who temporarily forgot who he was and was reminded. John chapter 21 tells us of the restoration of Peter. You might remember he denied knowing Jesus three times on the night that Jesus was betrayed. And on that third time, the rooster crowed and he broke. Wept. Deep sobbing. Here in chapter 21 of John's gospel, we find the disciples back in what they know best, because Jesus is dead and gone now. So they are doing what we know to do. They're fishing. Led by Peter, by the way. So they cast out to sea with no luck all night long, and some guy on the shore says, "Hey, put your net on the other side." And they do, and they catch so many that the nets begin to break. And then they say, "Oh, that's him." And so when they realize who it is, Peter jumps off the boat, runs to shore to be with Jesus. And Jesus is sitting by a fire, cooking some fish and some bread. And Jesus calls for some of the fish they just caught. "Hey, bring some of that with you." Because Jesus wants them to have a meal with him. And I got this really awesome shirt for Christmas. It's kind of my favorite color, and it has this verse. And this is what Jesus said to them. "Come and have breakfast." We spend so much time diving as deep as we can in the theological books and the commentaries. And what does Jesus mean by the word abide? And Jesus says, "Come and have breakfast." Just get to know me. I'll take you there. We'll go together. Come and have some breakfast. After that, you know, they ate, and then Jesus reminded Peter, you know, he said, hey, Peter, do you love me? Three times. If you don't know the story, go read John chapter 21. Peter was reminded of his true identity. Not a failure, not a flash in the pan, but a shepherd of Jesus' church. So Dan, you can come on up and we can get going with that last song. I want to thank you again, by the way. It was beautiful worship. So this morning we heard about a rediscovery of the Book of the Covenant. And dust off your Bible. We heard about someone being called down from a tree. Come down from your searching. Relax. Jesus is looking for you. We heard about somebody being told to try again from the other side. Put your net over the other side. Okay, Mr. Stranger. In all these events, people were reminded and people shared a meal. Oh, this is the Book of the Covenant. Oh, the Passover. Oh, I'm in the tree. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to come to your house and have a meal. Hey, guys, put your net on the other side. Come and sit with me. Have a meal. So this year, as we began, His mercies are brand new. Ecclesiastes 3, all the turtle songs we can sing. Forget 2022, 2021, 2020. Just stop talking about those years. Just stop. They're not helping anything. Remember the moments when God showed up. Remember the moments when that little red marker on your Google map, that's where God was. Boom, he did that. He did that. Forget the rest of it. Just. So this year, remind other people, okay? Remind other people of God's unfathomable grace. And invite your neighbor to your house for a literal meal. Your literal neighbor. Not the neighbor somewhere out there. This is how we love God, and this is how we love each other. So today, begin. Let's worship.